sun. Here comes the sun, and I say it's alright.
All right, this coming weekend is a Chicago tradition. It all started 45 years ago, and that's the Fest for Beatles Fans, the original and longest-running Beatles celebration, which is taking place here at the Hyatt Regency O'Hare, with many activities and seminars, along with special guests, historians, biographers, Beatles musicians, concert promoters, and more. And joining me to talk about everything Beatles and what to expect at the Fest this coming weekend is the author of Watching TV and three Beatles books, including one of his earliest works, All Together Now, the only complete Beatles discography, my friend, Beatles historian Wally Podrazik. What's going on, buddy?
Hi there.
Hello, sir.
It's good to be in the celebratory mood.
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
One of the things about the Fest for Beatles Fans is its timing in the year. Namely, It's in that in-between space. It's like the last chance for a little summer indulgence.
Agreed.
And then you go back to school or college or you take the kids to school or
what have you. No, you're totally right.
And so in that sense, it's very much of a family affair. And it... I'll tell you, there's a long list of guests. There's a long list of things we could talk about. But I want to point out one thing that is like the first thing on the promotional postcard I saw, which it said, live Beatles music.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes a lot of forms. But one of the most delightful forms are the spontaneous jam sessions.
That happen there.
By fans. I mean, constantly.
Wow. Where does that happen? Just little pockets of the hotel?
Pockets of the hotel, hallways, outside the hallways, by the elevator, by the escalator. They used to be called the people under the stairs because before they did before they did some renovation, there was literally a staircase that they would position themselves in.
Yeah.
But then that could not accommodate the number of people that end up jamming together.
But let me ask you this. Who doesn't love the Beatles? I mean, you talk about something that crosses every generation. I can't list a ton of bands that do this. And I mean, my 7-year-old loves it. My father loves it. I mean, there's something for everybody when you talk about Beatles music.
Yeah. And that's why probably a quick sidebar, one of the unexpected hits of this movie season is the film Yesterday.
Yesterday. Yeah. Tell me about that. What do you think about the movie?
Oh, I think it's wonderful.
Okay, good. All right.
And it's also smarter than it had to be. Because it's one of those elevator pitch movies, which is everyone in the world forgets the Beatles except one person, and he's a musician, and he can now take credit for all of the Beatles songs.
Yeah.
And so
and
then what happens?
Yeah.
But it's...
And he becomes beloved immediately, of course.
Of course, so to speak.
Yeah.
Of course not.
Yeah.
It takes a little while.
Probably
one of the funniest sequences is the Beatles never existed in this parallel world.
Right.
And so, like, he goes to Google them, and there's no Beatles. Okay, you're the only one who remembers the Beatles. So, great. I could do all their songs. If I remember all their songs.
Oh, because
there's nothing to check.
There's nothing to go back on.
Some of them just flow right out.
Yeah.
But one of the funniest sequences is when he's trying to remember the lyrics, spoiler alert, to Eleanor Rigby. And that's kind of a running gag for multiple scenes. It's like, okay, wait, how does it go? And how does it go? And he's trying to spur his memory by having images. And it's like, no, that's not it yet. I'm not at that place. And what it turns out in the movie Yesterday, the hero, it's great. It's a great cast, but the hero turns out to be the songs.
Of course.
Because they're the ones that supersede everything. And so when you come to a Fest for Beatles fans, that is the first driver.
Yeah.
And everything else spins from that.
Now, I found this fascinating. Speaking of the songs, the film was initially set to release in September, but was moved up several months earlier. I don't know if you know this. It was moved up to June due to a copyright lawsuit filed by Paul McCartney. Sony Music's rights to some of the Beatles songs used in the film would start reverting back to him by the fall of 2019. So they pushed everything up to get it out there. brilliant.
and I knew that Paul was in the process of using copyright law to claim compositions.
I get it.
But that's fascinating because, again, since it's over the closing credits, it doesn't matter. There's only one actual Beatles recording. Everything else is someone else doing their songs over the closing credits, and it's a Paul McCartney vocal. So I wonder if that was part of, shall we say, a discussion.
Yeah. It must have been. But the fest itself, you know, where did the first of all, where did your passion come for the Beatles?
Actually, I think we have shared this before. I'm sort of a comparatively late bloomer based on my age and when I would have been seeing them. In that I saw them on the Ed Sullivan Show in 1964, but only partially because I was flipping back and forth between that and Walt Disney's Wonderful World of Color, which had what I really wanted to watch was The Scarecrow of Romney Marsh, starring Patrick McGoohan in this adventure series. And the reason we were watching Beatles at all was my older teenage female cousin wanted to see it. So that's what we settled. Yeah. We settled on the agreement.
She won. Yeah.
When the Beatles were on, we'd stay on that channel. When the Beatles went off and there were other acts, we would flip back to the to the Scarecrow of Romney Marsh.
Yeah.
So subsequently, or consequently, I ended up getting into Beatles. The first time I actually heard a song and said, wow, that's really good, was, believe it or not, Help. So that's their second film. That's a little further onto the timeline, and I saw it on of all places the Saturday morning Beatles cartoon show.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm just watching it, and they had the Help on there, and I went, "That's a clever song. I really like that."
A lot of people, I bet you, don't know that there was a Saturday morning Beatles
cartoon
show.
There was a Saturday morning Beatles authorized. This was not some. They signed the deal and all. And it actually went fairly late. It actually bled into like these Penny Lane, Strawberry Fields Forever era.
Yeah.
And essentially, it was really bad animation using the actual Beatles recordings, and they would work the songs into a story. And then they would just have a sing-along segment as well. So, I mean, there were multiple Beatles songs, and it was not Yellow Submarine by any means.
Yeah.
It was just the churn-em-out type cartoons. But it served that purpose of introducing that younger generation to the Beatles if they weren't already plugged into them.
Well, I thought that's kind of what the Monkees did to a degree. And this, I think the cartoon came out after the Monkees, didn't it?
No, it preceded. It preceded the Monkees.
It did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Telling the stories and so forth. Okay.
Yeah. But the point is that the Beatles have, throughout their career, struck the teen market, struck the young preteen market, and then they did something that few other groups do: is they matured. So if you are a 12-year-old Beatles fan, you're probably going to love some of that early stuff as your first taste of
it. That's very true. My daughter has a record player in her room, and she has Beatles. I think she has one that came out whenever.
Yeah, the greatest hits.
But that's how, and she loves that. I mean, she loves her Billie Eilish and all this other stuff that I know a little about, but she goes back to her Beatles. Like, I'll just hear it starting to jam in her room when she's doing homework or doing whatever.
And then when you look at the compilation albums they released, Beatles 62, 66, and 67, 70, which was their greatest hits, they released those in the 70s. Basically, you see it's almost a different group because they have said, all right, that was fun and that was good. And you see hints of where we're going, but we're going to take it even further.
Sure.
And so the Beatles have something for just about every generation to discover. So if you are 64 and you, for some reason, had never heard the Beatles before and you discover them, it's like, oh, this is some pretty interesting songwriting.
And then the guy that actually started this thing, and I worked for Sam Goody in Musicland back in the 80s and 90s, but this guy was a Sam Goody's, I think, a store manager or whatever it was. He was wanted to do something to celebrate the 10th anniversary, I think, the Beatles in America, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he created this festival.
Yeah. And he makes a big point of saying he went to John Lennon and said, is this okay?
Yeah, that's amazing.
And John Lennon said, yeah, sure, I'm a Beatles fan. Why not? Go ahead.
That's great.
He has, as part of that, made like charity fundraising as part of the raffles and all that they do. And the greatest thing about it, though, is that you have people who share a common love, and that is the love of the Beatles. Now you say everybody likes them, or may not have heard of them. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people, believe it or not, not just in a fictional parallel world, that are not super aware of them.
Yeah, I can't believe that.
But there are.
Okay.
I teach some of them.
Yeah, okay. So, all right.
But with that as the starting point, he says, all right, we're going to sing together, we're going to talk Beatles together, and then over the decades, he has brought people who have been part of their story. And unlike, say, God bless, I love the legacy of Elvis Presley, but he died. And so there's a point at which he's not putting out anything new.
No, not as far as we know.
All four of them continued with very strong solo careers past the breakup.
They did.
Past Abbey Road. So
how excited were you when Paul and Ringo, a couple of weeks ago, you saw a video of them performing on stage together? Wasn't it neat?
That was very neat. I mean, Paul McCartney and Ringo are very conscious of the fact that they are keepers of the legacy.
Yeah.
And they know that when they do something like that, it will be covered and regarded as a special event.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so
I stopped in my tracks and did that. I stopped in my tracks and did when James Corden had Paul McCartney, and they went through Liverpool together, right?
Right. And in fact,
I literally stopped in my tracks, and I showed my kids, because that in itself was amazing.
And to show you how it just bleeds across generations and areas of interest, my wife and I were at a reception, an author's reception, and total strangers sitting next to me. Total stranger. We're not talking at all, and I happen to be telling Grace, I say the word Beatles, and unprompted, this gentleman leans over and said, I just saw the greatest thing. He didn't even remember Corden's name.
Took me a minute, actually. Yeah. But
Paul McCartney driving around Liverpool singing.
Yeah.
And then we started talking about that. And again, that shows you how so aware Mr. McCartney is of just what treasured legacy he's the keeper of.
Absolutely. There are so many interesting guests that show up at the fest, and I was looking at the list, like Denny Lane of Wings, drummer Alan White, who played with Yes. I mean, you got some really cool historians and radio personalities, and of course, hosted by Terry Hemmert of XRT, which is very cool. But you also got Sergeant Sauerkraut's Polka Band, but it's every element of the.
Okay, by the way, I'm in the Sergeant Sauerkraut's Polka Band movie.
Not. Oh, are you really?
Yes,
there's a movie.
Well, there is a movie. It's an independent film. I'll tell you about it some other time.
No, but I joke about that. But I mean, there's some really cool Beatles related guests that you're just that are just fascinated to listen to.
And one of the things that you mentioned, Denny Lane, actually, Denny Lane, Lawrence Juber, and Steve Holly, three former members of Wings, 40 years ago, were members of Wings.
Right.
And so this is the 40th anniversary of an album called Back to the Egg. And so they can do, and they do a number of the songs from that album. So there's going to be a celebration of the Abbey Road album, but there's also going to be a celebration of things. Hey, they were there.
They were
Paul's wingmen, so to speak. So they bring that to the stage. Each night ends with a concert, especially Saturday and Sunday, full-blown concert by Soundalike Band Liverpool. And they are the basis for a lot of the musical guests, to come in and jam on particular numbers. So it's a delightful experience to end what will be a long day of hearing stories and sharing music and sharing smiles, frankly.
We're talking everything the Beatles, the Fest for Beatles fans right here in Chicago with Beatles historian Wally Podrazik. Now, there's two 50th anniversaries, Yellow Submarine earlier in the year, correct?
Oh, right.
Soundtrack or whatever.
I mean, that's a complicated anniversary.
All right. And then Abbey Road.
Yes.
Abbey Road. So that's a big deal.
Yeah, because that was, even though it's not the last Beatles album release, that would be Let It Be the following year. Mm-hmm. Abbey Road was their last album, conceived as an album together. We're going to put this out. This is our swan song.
This is
our farewell. In fact, not coincidentally, the last song on the album is called The End.
Yeah, right.
So in case you nudge didn't get it.
But the cover, and we've talked about this before, how important album covers work.
Just
works of art. I mean, this album cover is so memorable, and so many people tried to recreate that image of the Beatles walking through that crosswalk.
Either officially or unofficially.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it ends up on somebody else's album cover. Even Paul McCartney used it for one of his later solo albums.
For
a collection of live songs.
Okay.
But there are so many people. In fact, the cover of the Yesterday soundtrack, I'm showing David the CD in studio, and it's the star of it crossing a zebra crossing.
But even if you didn't see the word yesterday and you didn't know what it was, would associate
immediately.
Absolutely.
And so they have, and one of the magical things about the original shot is that basically it was just done on a Friday late morning. They just went out there, snap, and went back in
done.
The studio.
Done.
It's done.
All done. Speaking of Abbey Road, to you, because you ask people, what's your favorite album? Revolver might be the best overall, or Abbey Road or the White Album. What is the most important album from your perspective of the Beatles in music history?
You don't have me speechless. It's just that I always have to put in 100 caveats on it.
Okay.
But let's look at Abbey Road and say it was the Crossroads album. In other words, it's a Beatles album.
Yeah.
You have a song like Because, which has beautiful three-part harmony. I mean, this is the Beatles, the group, showing their stuff. But it's also showing the direction that's about to unfold. I mean, George Harrison has two incredible songs on there, Here Comes the Sun and Something. And that's basically like the beginning of the George Harrison solo years.
Sure.
I mean, if he was going to launch his career, he couldn't have done it with better numbers than those.
Now, there's also, there's so much to see and do, and there's seminars and music and all kinds of other stuff. And as you said, for families as well. There's a giant Beatles marketplace. There's a Fest shop, of course, as well. But the Beatles marketplace is kind of a collection of collectibles, wouldn't you say?
Well, there's two layers of marketplace.
Right.
So you have the dealers that come in with collectibles, specialty items, and then you have the Fest itself, which is, if you're looking for something that is official and authorized, a book, an ornament, a suitcase, what have you, you're going to find it there, because that's what they do in the rest of the year when they're not putting on a Beatles convention.
Gotcha.
And so you're able to pick things like that up. And so you can shop, you could sing, and you could luxuriate in all things Beatles.
What is your you play a big role in all of this? What are you doing?
Yeah. So among the things that I do is I do the trivia here in Chicago, and I also lead discussions.
Of course, you do.
Chats,
as a professor and all things
but please,
Beatles.
They're not professorial discussions.
They are
fun, accessible ones.
They happen to
be very well researched, intelligent, and thorough in their analysis.
Of course, they are.
But also, as the last couple of years, some associates of mine and I have put together original little theater piece. Mm-hmm. And so we're doing this year's is Brian Epstein's Legacy, 1969, which is just shy of an hour. And it's looking at how people were affected by things Beatle during 1969. In the backdrop
of everything that was going on in Vietnam and everything else.
Of demonstrations,
the
Vietnam, etc.,
and
how Beatles were constantly a point of reference. And also, there were tearful moments when the last Bachelor Beatle got married.
of course. And for the millions of teenagers out there.
And of course, the year 1969 starts with the live Beatles concert on the rooftop.
That's right. Which was their final.
Which was filmed
public
to be the ending of Let It Be.
Yeah,
in other words, we got to figure out how we're going to end this.
Yeah,
how about we just go on the roof and play?
Yeah, that's right. It was the 50th anniversary of that as well.
Yeah, and that is a delightful, invigorating concert to see. I mean, because it really was captured in high-quality film. We saw Ron Howard included it in the 8 Days a Week documentary. But right now, in preparing for next year's celebration of the official release of the film, the concert took place in 69. The film was released in 70.
70, yeah.
You're going to see just stellar footage of that
That's cool.
come out.
Looking forward to that. Yeah.
And it's wonderful to watch.
The Fest for Beatles fans is Friday, August 9th through Sunday, August 11th. And for more information, visit thefest.com. Always a pleasure talking any subject with you, young man.
It was a pleasure, sir. Thank you.
All right. Much more ahead on 720 WGN.